And so a person who's rich should be a person that's very, very thankful, because if God allows them to be a person of wealth, they should be very thankful for having that. And they should recognize that they, like all men, will be judged by their works, and they'll be judged by their attitudes, and they'll be judged by how they treat other people. So a wealthy person should praise God, just as we do when we pray for our daily meals. We praise God for He supplies our needs, and a wealthy person should praise God. And they should see their wealth as a tool that God has entrusted in them to use, and they should learn to be generous with it, and not be prideful, and not be constantly displaying it. America is notorious for the bigger and better. Bigger homes, bigger cars. If you go out here on Lake Wylie or any other lake in the United States, you'll find multi-million dollar homes. And I have no idea why anybody needs, I mean, unless you got 25 kids, you don't need a 25,000 square foot house with a 5-car garage. There's a family out there on Lake Wylie, they got two kids, and they got 25,000 square foot house and 5-car garage and 10 acres of land on the lake. And they got millions and millions of dollars. I guess they just want somewhere to put it in that house or something. I don't know. But it's foolish, and it doesn't impress me that they've got all that wealth and they got all that stuff. Oh, they got a big old gigantic boat that probably cost over $1 million too. And they may be nice people. They may be Christian people. They may be good people. They may be tithing people. I don't know. But they're living very opulently, and they want people to see their wealth, because they advertise it with everything that they do. And people who exalt self, other people can see through that very quickly, and it doesn't usually impress too many people. Verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. And this deals with separation from the wicked. When David rejoiced, he made sure every man had a portion during the great feast of his inauguration and the feast of bringing back the Ark of God and things of that nature. They had great celebrations, and David rejoiced, and he was a very caring and benevolent king. They sent portions to those who could not come. And when Israel had wicked kings come to the throne, the expression that they would use is, every man to his tent. So no matter if they lived in homes in the cities, they all still maintained their tents, and they would go to the Bedouin lifestyle in their tents, and they would leave the king, and the ruler wouldn't have anybody to rule over if he was wicked and did not treat them as they should. And so David ran from Saul for about 7 years, it's believed, before the Lord took Saul out of the way, and David was able to be again anointed king. David was anointed 3 times when he was a youth. God chose him over Saul and sent Samuel with his horn of oil to anoint him, and he did. And then he waited until God removed Saul, and he became the king over Judah, his tribe, and then later united the kingdom and was king over all the kingdom of Israel. And so when rulers are a blessing and rejoice in the Lord, they can cause great glory. But when the wicked rise, people withdraw. They have to hide themselves. The wicked will unjustly tax them and unjustly treat them, and they will do everything they can in secret. You'll remember that Gideon was hiding behind the threshing instruments, threshing out wheat, so that he could hide it from the Midianites so they didn't take it in taxation. And I always told Bobby Anglin that was my proof text for the IRS, you know, trying to take everything we own. So if you can make a little money under the cuff, go right ahead. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now we all face the danger of doing something wrong and then not wanting it exposed. And so it is natural for people to try to hide their sins. And it's natural for people to try to blame other people for the wrong they have done, because they don't want to be exposed. But God has given us the understanding that what he wants us to do as believers is confess our sin to him, and he will cleanse us and forgive us, not try to hide it and not try to blame someone else for it. And God called Adam and Eve when they were hiding from God after they had sinned, and it gave them an opportunity to answer and to confess to God. But instead they hid themselves, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover their naked bodies, which revealed that they had lost their glory and their nakedness was exposed. And when God came to Adam and he gave him this chance to answer honestly, he said, "Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" And Adam says, "The woman that you gave me, she gave to me and I did eat." And then Eve blamed the devil. "He did tempt me and I did eat." And so both yielded to the devil's temptation and both willfully sinned, and both tried to cover their sin and tried to blame someone else for their sin. Adam came just short of blaming God for his sin, but it was the woman that he gave him. We all know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Another good verse comes from Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Psalm 32:5, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." So that's been God's plan all along. The psalmist understood it in his day, and the New Testament writers understood it in their day. And it's always still a temptation for people to tell a lie and to try to hide their sin or to try to blame somebody else. When God asked a question like, "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where Adam was, but it was an opportunity for Adam, when God questioned, "Where are you?" for Adam to say, "Lord, I'm here, and I hid myself because I was ashamed. I sinned against you." Like the prodigal who came to himself, and then he went home and confessed his sin to the Father. So let us be quick to confess our sin and not hide it, not try to blame other people for it. Verse 14, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." You might remember the story of Moses and Pharaoh, and how Pharaoh continually hardened his heart against God. Pharaoh had questioned, "Who is God that I should obey him and let Israel go?" And he hardened himself to the point that then God hardened his heart so that he couldn't repent and have a change of mind. Satan tempts men to believe God is unjust in withholding from them something they desire, that God doesn't care about their needs and their wants. And Satan tempts men to feel that way and to be hardened against God, thinking God is causing your problems and withholding. I had a friend growing up in my neighborhood that two boys were brothers, and the younger boy was 1 year or so younger than me. The older boy was about 2 years older than me. And their father died when the older boy was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or 13 years of age, and the younger boy about 3 years younger than that. And the oldest boy got very bitter. He blamed God. The younger boy didn't have that attitude, and later the younger boy, his daughter was the girl that was killed in the swimming pool at Carowinds, where somebody was shooting a high-powered rifle out in a pasture, and it went through the fence and went through the little girl in the swimming pool and killed her. And Joy and I remember when she was born, and we were go out to eat together with them when our daughters were very young. And that was a terrible, tragic accident, but the couple did not become angry and bitter and blame God, but the older brother, that added fuel to the fire. And sadly, he died as a young man, died in his home, and a log rolled out of the fire, and he was asleep in the den, and it caught the room on fire and caught him on fire. I'm not saying God did that to him because of his attitude, but you can't help but connect the dots when you think about things like that. And we know that God doesn't make mistakes, and that God is not unjust in punishment, and that tragic things happen that are not God's plan and will for those things to take place. Evil is in the world, and because of it, many tragic things happen to a lot of people, and good people have bad things happen unto them all the time. Now, history revealed many wicked rulers, and wicked rulers in verse 15, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Imagine living in Alaska in the remote area where the grizzly bears live. And imagine if you had to go out to an outhouse in the night, and then all of a sudden there's a grizzly bear between you and the cabin that you got to get back into, you know. And one of those things can get up to 9 feet tall, a brown bear and a grizzly bear, and they can be immense and weigh about half a ton and have the power in their jaws and in the swipe of a paw. That just unbelievable things to have to live around. And living under a wicked king who has an army to enforce his will can be that way. Russia and China and other countries like that have had rulers that have murdered the people who are their subjects when they did not go along with what they wanted them to do. And the people have to live in fear, and that's the method that those kind of wicked rulers use. We all remember Saddam Hussein gassing the Kurdish people who lived within the borders of Iraq, and that was part of the motivation for trying to bring him down, was his murderous intents. Pol Pot and the killing fields murdered, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in the killing fields. And rulers who lack understanding, verse 16, 17, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, or wanteth, meaning lacking understanding, is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him or stop him from being judged and punished. So these wicked murderers will face God one day, but many of them have faced the world courts after these wars and things have been over, like World War II with the Nazis. Many of them had to go before the world court and were judged for their terrible atrocities upon people. These princes are often covetous, wanting what others possess, whether it's lands or to tax the people over and over when they're too poor to pay. But rulers who are righteous can prolong their days, and God will prolong the days. You go back and read the kings of Israel in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The kingdom was not united except under David and Solomon. And after Solomon, when his son went to the throne, the kingdom divided, and the 10 tribes went to Samaria, and Judah remained in Jerusalem, and that was the southern kingdom. And they never reunited throughout all the kings. And some of these kings, the kings of the north, were mostly all wicked. And the kings of the south, you'd have a good one and a bad one and a good one and a bad one. And the good ones would be measured by following God like David, their father. And these kings, many of them were godly and lived long periods of time and ruled for long periods of time, as much as 45 years or so. And that's quite a reign when you look at presidents, you know, 8 years is the max they can rule in the United States of America. And they have to be somewhat benevolent and to people in order to get reelected and to be able to continue for a longer period of time. Verse 18, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." We know God will not bless the ways of the perverse and the wicked. God will sustain the man who walks rightly and will deliver him in a time of trouble, and ultimately he will save him from this present evil world in which we live. And God is always watching over us and protecting us far more than we even realize. You can't get on I-77 and drive 25 or 30 miles and not recognize that God probably protected you in some way in that period of time. There's dangers on those roads every day, and all kinds of dangers that we face in life, but God protects us and provides for us and sustains us because we glory Him and praise Him. As David said in the Psalms in several passages, "Lord, I can't praise you from the grave. You know, keep me alive and bless me and help me and deliver me from mine enemies that I might praise you and give you glory, for there's no praise that can come to you from the grave." And so God has a reason to keep us around. If we're a witness, if we're a faithful one unto Him, then God wants to keep us like you'd want to keep a good fruit tree in your yard. But if your tree's not bearing any fruit, you're going to do what I did the other day. We've had some plum trees in the side of our front yard for a long time. I mean, they're that big around, plum trees, and grown out all over top of the building. And they haven't produced a plum in about 4 years now. And I got a new electric battery-operated chainsaw. It's 80 volts with an 18-inch bar. I make the Rush Limbaugh commercial. Rum, 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 for the tree huggers. You know, bzz, boy, I whooped them things down. And it chopped them down really good. And the Lord has no reason to keep us around if we're just using up His air and shaming His name and that sort of thing. So let's be sure we're glorifying Him and serving Him and doing what we should and produce fruit like a good fruit tree. Verse 19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." This goes through verse 22. "To have respect of persons is not good, for for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Now, the best way for young people to get ahead in life and to get settled in life is to learn a good work ethic. To learn they have to get enough sleep at night to be able to get up early in the morning and get their duties done around the home, their devotion time, and then get on the road and get to their job before time to check in and be on time, and seek all the training that they can possibly get, qualify for, to get ahead. There's no reason that you can't work a job and go to school at the same time, or get some kind of training on the side, because too many other people have done it before. And you know, Pete and I are not the sharpest tools in the shed, but we both worked full-time, went to school full-time, and finished college, and it can be done. And I went went to welding school and worked a full-time job, and I went to business college and worked a full-time job, and I went to Bible college and worked a full-time job. And it's hard. It's not easy. You're not going to spend a lot of time goofing off with your friends and playing a lot of sports and playing video games and watching a lot of television. There's other things that are going to have to be more important to you. Now, college is not for everybody. If you're going to go to college today and get a job, you better find out what they're hiring. If it's computer skills, you're probably going to need to get a master's degree to get a job in that field. And an engineering job, a master's degree, will open doors. But you may find a good job by simply going to college. Many people have for, you know, all the years of history. But there's an awful lot of people that go to college today, especially those that take liberal arts courses, and they graduate and they can't find a job doing anything. And there are a lot of jobs that some people would rather do, like heating and air conditioning and plumbing and electrical work, that pay very well. And there's places like the York Technical College where those kind of things can get you way ahead in training in order to be prepared for something like that. If you want a better paying job, you have to pay a price to train for it and work your time to be qualified for it. Those who follow foolish people and the worldly crowd will become wasters and regret it and waste many years where they could have been getting ahead and building a retirement. I know a young man who started work when he was 40 years of age at a job that has a good retirement. But he had never done that before, and he started at 40, so that means he's got to put in 25 years there to be 65 to be qualified for retirement from a city job. With retirement, it requires at least 25 years of working there. And so thinking things like that are important in order to get ahead in life and to get prepared for being the head of a household and keeping up children and a home and an automobile. We've all, who are adults and had jobs and families, have learned all this stuff, that it's not easy to purchase a home, and it's very tough right now on younger families to buy a home in this economy. As much as homes have gone up and the price of lumber has gone up, and so has everything else. Brother Freddie stopped by here the other day to put some lights in a classroom for us, and he said the reason he was not on a particular job he was supposed to be on was because somebody broke in over the night before and stole all the copper wire out of the house that he had put in running all the electrical stuff. And he said copper has gotten so high that it's created a market for thieves to steal copper wire and sell it for scrap. Well, a faithful man is blessed by his family and his friends. Those who follow get-rich-quick schemes open themselves up to corruption and deception, and they will surely be found out eventually. The prodigal was wasted his substance in riotous living, and he tried to invest his wealth in the friendships of people who took advantage of him. He lost what he had. And then when he got broke, he had no one. Achan in Joshua chapter 7 stole a Babylonian garment after God told him not to take the spoil, and a wedge of gold, and he hid it in his tent. And Joshua had to put him to death along with his family because of his sin to stay a plague from God for him being disobedient to the Lord. Verse 21, do not be impressed by men's wealth or popularity or titles. Be impressed by godly character, by good morals, by people of integrity and endurance and hard work. And those are good things to give accolades to and to try to emulate ourselves, but don't be impressed by the wrong things. Verse 22, the eye of the greedy one causes men to hasten by unjust means. He doesn't consider these forging a chain that will imprison him link by link. And they want to be rich quick, and they have the desire of material things. And so instead of working to earn and wait until they can afford to purchase these, there are too many shortcuts that come along, and most all of them are unethical or illegal or immoral. And that's what we must be careful of. Verse 23, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." Christians have to tell the truth, and if you tell the truth in the right way, you can reveal to someone something they really don't want to hear, but it will help them, and they may come back later and thank you that you were the one person that was willing to tell them the truth. Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat and drink, and he was used to teach two kings in rebuke and help the kingdom. In Nebuchadnezzar, he told Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed, and he was offered great reward, which he refused. Though he was rewarded somewhat for what he did, he built a reputation so that later, when Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson came to the throne, when he saw the handwrite on the wall, none of the wise men could reveal what the writing was. And the queen remembered Daniel, who had the spirit of the living God in him. And so they sent for Daniel to give the interpretation of it, and he did. And he had to tell that king what he didn't want to hear. "This very night your kingdom will be taken away from you, and your life will be taken away from you. And it will be turned over to the Medes and the Persians." And it was fulfilled exactly. And so if you tell people the truth spiritually, You're the friend that will pray for them and tell them the truth and try to help them, but many of their friends will simply tell them what they want to hear, and that will lead them into more trouble instead of making correction in their life. Hopefully, when people see truth, they'll come back and thank you that you were willing to be their friend truly and tell them the truth. Verse 24. "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer." We've seen a plague upon America because of drugs and a host of young people who have robbed their parents and their grandparents and other people because of being addicted to drugs and needing to have money to buy them. And you know, I saw a man that just got out of jail that morning when he used to be a Kmart on Cherry Road. He was going through the cars in the parking lot, and he was ones that were unlocked. He was digging around there, getting change out of them and all like that. And he went into Kmart. I called the police, and the police went in there and got him. And they said he just got out of jail a couple of hours ago. They said he ain't hardly had time to get drunk and high, but he's so drunk he couldn't hardly walk or high. And they said he's trying to steal money out of these cars. He went in there and he stole a BB pistol out of Kmart, had it stuffed down in his pants, and they got him for that. And he was so addicted that he was acting so carelessly and foolishly to do these things right in plain sight because he wanted the drugs so desperately. And they'll steal from their parents and their grandparents. Joy and I knew a lady and a family that we knew the children associated with this. These two boys, one of them took his girlfriend over to his mother and father's house, and they were worth a couple of $1 million, and he murdered his parents to get money for drugs, and he got caught within a matter of days. We don't know if the other brother was involved in it or not. He didn't spend any time in jail or anything. And but, I mean, how horrible, and the friends and family members that were broken over that and had hatred for that young man for what he did is just unbelievable. Well, many young people will start out asking their parents, "Can I borrow some money?" And what they should say is, "I don't have any intention of paying you back, but I need some help. Are you willing to help me?" And it's probably again and again and again. And then they should show an awful lot of appreciation if the parents have been merciful to help them. Otherwise, they're just a thief. They're just an ingrate. They're stealing from their family. Absalom tried to steal the kingdom from David, and he died as a fool dieth for his sins. I love the story that one old preacher used to tell about a black man came up to him and said, "I got me a sermon, and I'm going down to the jailhouse and preach it." He said, "What are you going to preach?" He said, "2 Samuel XV3, 9 verses from the beginning, and the mule walked on." He's talking about 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 9, where Absalom rode the mule up under the oak tree, and he hung his hair in it, and Joab came along, threw darts through his heart and killed him. He died like a fool. And the fellow had a good sermon for sin and the wages of sin and getting paid back for them. I love the way he phrased that in the story. The mule walked on. Verse 25-26, a proud heart stirs strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Satan is the author of sin, and pride was his downfall, wanting to be worshipped as God. And pride is a tool that he uses to tempt men to put their trust in themselves, or to put their trust in things, or to exalt themselves. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we must be careful about reasoning with ourselves and leaving God out of the discussion. Those who walk wisely will follow the Lord and find blessing. Verse 27-28, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. He that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. God cares for the poor, and he will bless us if we care for the poor. I have seen God bless me in giving to something, and then God give it right back to me. Just in even the same day that I made a decision to give something, it was a little bit of a sacrifice, but I decided it was the right thing to do, and so I gave it, and then God gave it back. My wife and I have never had a better garden, and I believe part of that is to do with giving to widows around our neighborhood, little portions of our garden when the crops come in. I told Pete, brought me some potatoes he picked out of his garden, and I told him, I said, "Okay, that's your tithe right there, you know." You brought the preacher a bag of potatoes. In the days of the wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, there was a prophet named Obadiah who hid 100 prophets in a cave and fed them with bread and water, over in 1 Kings chapter 18. In the end times, in the tribulation, God will make a hiding place for the nation of Israel to flee to be safe during the time of the Antichrist and the wicked that rule in the end of time, until the Lord brings judgment upon them and deliverance and sets up his kingdom. And God can make a hiding place for you to be safe and secure because you walk with the Lord and are blessed of God. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here tonight. Pray you'll bless them. Pray you'll encourage them. Pray that something that's been said will stick in our minds, that when we face a circumstance that's applicable, that we can use these things to be a help and a blessing to others, and that they'll help us to keep our feet on the straight and narrow path. So bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Diane will play through a verse. If you need someone to